is a Bramble Jam podcast.
Hi, I'm Bran, and I love Netflix Christmas movies.
I'm Dan, and I despise Netflix Christmas movies.
I'm Alonzo, and I'm beginning to have serious doubts about Netflix Christmas movies. And this
is the Deck the Hallmark podcast. Yay!
Oh, yeah.
Hello, everybody. Another Monday, another day to say, hey, let's celebrate Christmas today.
Yeah. You know how I know we're ready to go?
Huh.
You and I just split a dozen donuts. That is not a lie. Alonzo doesn't know that. He's on the West Coast. We just split a full dozen Krispy Kreme donuts.
Okay.
So we did it.
We typically eat lunch right now.
We do.
We're early bird. We show up at the early bird. And so knowing we were doing this.
And we wouldn't eat lunch for a while.
We decided, you know,
we need a little something to tide you over.
How about 5.5 donuts? Because we didn't need a full.
There's a half of one donut.
There's a half of one donut.
That's right. Yeah, so. We had some restraint there. Either that or the island donut just isn't good. That's the problem. If it was an original glaze, it'd have been gone.
Pineapple?
It's got a blue frosting and like a coconut tree on it, and like this looks like graham cracker dust, like it's supposed to be the beach. It just doesn't taste very good.
I'm not sure of the point of it, but
yeah. So we just said it was a pass.
But I ate one.
You ate one.
Yeah, I ate my full six.
You ate your six. I had my five original glazed, and I had that, and I just said, I can't do it. This isn't good.
You know those little candy letters that go on cakes sometimes? You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
You're technically not
supposed to eat them, but...
Yeah, I ate them.
Oh, he loves them.
I love them, man. There was one on top of your donut, and you didn't eat it, so I picked that off and ate
it.
So I had six donuts and a little candy tree.
You know what? So last night... I had to go over and borrow some candles from your house. Do you know why I had to borrow candles from your house?
Something about one of your boys blew all the candles.
That's right. My boys had their birthday and we got them a cake and they're five, so they know the deal now. This is their first year in full knowledge of the deal of how great a birthday is. And we bring the cake out, the candles are lit, we sing, and we get to happy birthday to you. And before we get to you, one of the two twins blows out all the candles. He just bogarts it straight from the other one. And the other one is in disbelief, and we don't have another candle in the house. Not another single candle. And so we eat the cake, and then the following night, he's like, I want to blow out the candles, and we can't find any candles. So I walk down to your house, and we do the whole bit a second time, and I cover one kid's mouth so the other kid can blow out his candles. How ridiculous is that?
Let this be a teachable moment. Yep. You have twins. You better start doubling up on all this stuff because it's you cannot rely on them to share anything.
It was a giant cake.
You should have cut it in half.
It doesn't matter.
Next time, I'll be better.
You'll learn. You'll
individual
learn.
Cupcakes or with a five candle, whatever it takes.
One of my kids maybe just wait till the song's over for crying out loud.
No.
I'm just saying.
Nope.
Somehow it's
survival of the fittest. They're gonna just jump right in there.
It's definitely on you. We're talking about California Christmas today, which I didn't know existed.
No. We chose it because we've heard such good things.
Netflix snuck this one in last year.
It's like five days before Christmas.
It was the week before Christmas, and they said, let's just throw this one in the mix. And I hadn't heard about it. I didn't know anything about it. And
I think somebody in the Facebook group had said, woo, but that was about it.
Had you seen it before?
I had not.
Okay. You know what's funny is I don't want to get ahead of the game here because we're going to take breaks and stuff, but one of us talking is going to like the movie.
Really?
It's going to be a fun time. Okay. All right. Calm it down over there.
Let's talk about it. Let's break this sucker down. California Christmas originally aired on the Netflix on December 14th, 2020. And I want a little something like this. Joseph Van Aston. He's a rich boy. And he's the son of a wealthy real estate mogul, his mother. He loves wild women, wild nights, and wild motorcycles. Am I right, boys? His mom sends him to the country to close on a deal to buy a dairy farm from this family that's refusing to sell, essentially. Joseph arrives at the farm, and just before getting there, he accidentally spills coffee on his shirt, decides to change into a shirt that would make him look more relatable to the people. And that shirt is You're the Only 10 I See. So off to a good start, JoJo. He gets there. He meets Callie. Callie is busy helping a cow give birth. So cool. He is mistaken for the new ranch hand named Manny. And he just goes along with that. He decides to take advantage of this. He attempts to gain Callie's trust so that hopefully he can close on this deal. He can convince her to sell if he can get close to her because he's really good with the women. Callie has a little sister, and they both live with their mother, Wendy, who has cancer. To make sure that the real Manny doesn't show up like he's supposed to in a couple days, Joseph sends his driver and, you know, right-hand man to find the real Manny and pay him to not show up to the farm. Manny capitalizes on this opportunity by making a lot of requests in return for his silence. They stay at this fun little house. They pamper themselves. They play video games. And they drink wine, which we will get to in just a little bit. Joseph is really bad at his job, doesn't know what he's doing, and doesn't even know that it's called a dairy farm. After work, he goes to a bar, and Callie works there at night and tries to save her from this guy who's giving her a hard time. They get in a fight, and Callie tells them to get out of here by breaking a bottle and threatening to stab them. The next day, Callie shows Joseph a shed full of her late father's stuff, and they bond over how they have both lost their fathers and how they both like motorcycles. And from there, they really start to bond, and boy, do they have the hots for each other. She takes him to a small abandoned vineyard on the property, and she opens up about the loss of her dad and the financial situation and how she's worried about losing the property. And that is obviously the sign to, hey, let's start kissing. Remember Manny. Manny's not a big wine drinker until he drinks one glass and is able to pick out all of the notes.
He's a savant sommelier, yes, so I'm live.
That's exactly right. And he's very good at it, and it'll come in handy, I guess, in a little bit. As Christmas approaches, and you wouldn't know it by the weather, Joseph attempts to tell Callie the truth about who he is, but just can't figure out how to do it. One night, he's getting ready to tell her, and they end up doing the dirty instead. We've all been there. The next morning, she wakes up to text from Connor, who is a guy in town who he almost got in a fight with Manny. I mean, not Manny. The fake
Manny.
You get it. Yeah. Text her to pictures of who Joseph really is. Then Joseph's mom shows up and pressures Callie to accept a deal because, hey, your mom owes a bunch of money in medical bills and your dad took out a loan against her life insurance.
Oof.
A lot there. Callie still refuses the offer, kicks Joseph out and says, get out of here. So Manny, the wine, they have some of Callie's wine that she only gives as gifts. And Manny's like, this is good stuff. And so they go and take it to this wine guy, this wine expert, and he's like, this is good stuff. This is special grapes we didn't know we still had. And so that guy goes to check out the vineyard because Joseph kind of set up this whole thing, goes and tells Callie, hey, I got this guy coming. And she's like, I'm mad at you, but, you know, I need the money. So they make the vineyard presentable. The wine expert shows up and says, hey, this is good stuff, writes a number on a piece of paper, slides it to her, and she's like, yes, we get to keep the ranch. So it's, I guess it was a lot of money. Joseph, there was also this old barn that was really having a tough go of it. Joseph fixes that barn up in the dead of night, I guess, to have a place for the Christmas Eve party that they have, slash we can still live in our house celebration. And Callie eventually forgives him, and they have a wonderful evening together dancing and whatnot. And then we get like this little flash forward, apparently, where they're living on the new vineyard, and they have wedding rings on their hands. And so I guess things worked out. And that, my friends, was California Christmas.
It's a California Christmas brand, but we did it nonetheless.
I'm so sorry.
a California Christmas.
People turned it off. People turned off the podcast after I didn't say A.
Yeah, they were like, man, California, that's not what I signed up for.
I can't trust this guy.
No.
Let's take a quick break, and then we'll come back and we'll break this movie.
I love
it. Does that sound good?
Let's do it.
We'll be right back in here. No, no, no. Man, I love Mondays and Fridays because I get to watch Christmas movies.
Yeah,
and it reminds me that Christmas in July is right around the corner.
And we watch them from not just Hallmark, but occasionally we go over to the Lifetime, the Up TV.
That's right.
And I just wish there was a place where I could get all those movies in one central location. Brand, do you know of such a place?
What's that? Is that the sweet, sweet smell of Philo?
You can smell Philo.
You can. That's how good it is.
Wow.
And you know what it
good,
smells
you can
like?
Smell.
It's a good deal. Dang it, you took my joke. It's such a good deal, you can smell it. From a mile away, because Philo is giving our listeners 25% off the first 2 months. That gets you through the end of Christmas, July, and you will be very happy that you're saving money while watching the movies that you love.
Unlimited DVR, all the channels you want. Even your kids have things to watch. Philo's for everyone. Go to philo.tv/DTH to save your 25% over 2% over 2 months.
I'm rubbing off on you.
philo.tv/DTH.
Welcome back, everybody. We're talking about A, California Christmas. It's not the only one. It's one of many California Christmases.
California sucks.
Dun, yes. Dun, dun,
dun. All right, go ahead.
We're talking about it. We have 4 seconds to do so, and we're going to start with a hot take where we share exactly how we felt about this movie. I'm going to start with my good friend, Alonzo. Alonzo, you mentioned this was your first time seeing it. It slipped through the cracks in 2020. Is your 2021 better now that you've seen it?
Let me say this. Like Bran, I love a year-round infusion of Christmas stuff. That's how I got into this podcast. That's why I love doing the show with you guys on Mondays. It's an excuse to get a little dose of the holidays every week. I just want to say, as somebody who lives in California, I deeply apologize for this whole thing. I don't know what California did to deserve this thing, but this is one of the worst things I've ever seen in my life, Christmas or otherwise. This is the week where this show feels like work.
Yeah.
This was agony. Barely Christmassy. Just inept and just some really weird choices, and just generally speaking, I can imagine why even Netflix was like, you know, we have this movie, but don't tell anybody.
Can you imagine the people who made this movie while they're on the set? They're like, it's not like any real film critic is going to watch this movie. Little do they know, the raps Alonzo Duraldi's on the case.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, here's the thing with it. Once I came to terms with the fact that it's not a Christmas movie, despite the fact that every few minutes they put the word Christmas on the bottom left-hand corner to remind you that Christmas is coming. I don't know. I had a fun time. I really liked the two leads. They're married in real life?
They're married in real life.
Is that the word?
Exactly,
so
yes.
I thought that was a lot of fun, and I really enjoyed them. It was know, everything compared to The Gathering 2 seems like a blink of an eye. But this did seem long because there was a lot that could have been cut out.
When this says 13 days until Christmas, I died a little.
No, for sure. Yeah.
So it is long, and it is not great. But you know what? I enjoyed it. I had fun watching it. And so that's really all that I can ask for, I think, out of a movie that comes on Netflix around Christmas time, and they don't talk about it.
Somehow, if you do some like digging at the bottom of the dumpster fire, like once it's cooled off and the ashes, you're going to find A Christmas in California. I don't know what part of the most godforsaken part of California is it's this movie. Wherever they filmed this movie, that is the part of California you never, ever want to visit. I feel like I saw a few tumbleweeds blow by. That could have just been the fact that there was no soundtrack for most of the movie, and it was 3 hours long. Like, this was the extended cut of a bad Christmas movie. The choices, it being interesting... That's an understatement. There are some interesting choices. There's not a lot of great acting in this movie. There's some stuff, sadly, that I think could have been really funny had they gone in that direction a little bit more. But as it stands, it just stands squarely in the middle of awful. It doesn't really lend itself to having those funny moments, because the character of the real Manny, I actually thought could have been a really fun comedic light in the movie had they played it that way. But instead... It's an hour 48, feels like eternity, and it's not a good movie. This, everything I say about Netflix being higher quality than Hallmark, it goes out the window with this one. It's a bad movie.
I think it was an hour 43.
Hour 47 or 8 with credits, I believe.
Really?
Yeah.
Hour 48, yeah. I think this is, let's just say this is the Netflix equivalent of a Hallmark acquisition.
That's right. Yeah. If Kelly Pickler would have been in this movie, I don't know how much lower it sinks. It sinks, but I don't know how much lower.
Yeah, no, that's fair. Mm. Aside from all the feels, part of the show, we talk about what in this movie gave us feels. Alonzo, any feels to be found for you?
Well, you know, this movie does that thing where a film that is desperate to make you feel something, anything, will go right to Dying Mother at Christmas.
Yep.
And I lost my own mother to cancer. And so I will say, if you do Dying Mother at Christmas right, you got me. Like, I'm in the bag. I'm a super soft touch for that. But boy, when you do it wrong, it just looks shameless. And this movie is so desperately trying to make you feel something. It's like, a cancer mom isn't doing it for you? How about I lost my father and my fiance in the same truck accident and I was sitting in the back seat? Like, they just load on the personal tragedy, but nothing in this movie means anything. So it just is this weird recitation of like, this is also bad, I guess. I didn't feel anything, and certainly no Christmas feels.
Like, oh, Lord,
they,
no.
You know, I mean, I get it. Not every movie is going to be, you know, drowned in fake snow, and that's fine. And there's ways you can do a Christmas movie in a sunny climb and make up for it, but they barely bother.
I think, on Wheel of Fortune, they have a really thin sliver that's the $1 million thing. You know, I think in the Hallmark, or the Netflix office, their wheel includes a little sliver that says everybody dies. And it's where the lead, everyone she knows and loves, dies. And they spun the wheel for Christmas in California, and it hit Everybody Dies. And they're like, what are we going to do? Everybody's going to die.
Guess we got to.
Dad dies, fiance dies, mom's going to die. It's just, we got to do it. We'll make it work. I'm sure. Let's make the movie longer. That'll make it work.
Can you please respect the art? It's a California Christmas, Dan. It's not a Christmas in California.
I'm sorry. Excuse
respect
me.
Respect the art.
People are not tuning in anymore. They just turned off because this is not what they
y'all
signed up for.
Don't donut and drive, all right? You clearly are not all here today.
Doing the best we can.
Yes, I don't have a ton of feels. Lord knows, no Christmas feel. Like, why even tease us with the word in the title? Like, just don't do it. But, you know, I liked Manny, and I thought Manny was funny. Obviously, I felt like you could have done more with the character, but for what he was the best part of the movie. Like, I got quite a few chuckles out of Manny, and so I guess I'm just a sucker for that. But, yeah, Manny. Manny's my feels. Dan?
No, obviously not. No, there's no feels in this movie to be had. I don't, like, the plot does not serve it these actors very well, and neither does the script. And it's a movie that really we've seen a bunch of times where I'm acting like I'm this thing, but I'm actually this thing. I'm a secret prince, a secret rich person, secret, acquirer of things. Andrew Walker and Alicia Witt did it, in the first movie we watched last year. Like, it is a common thing, and it just never felt like it got.
Yeah, but
like
Andrew didn't know.
He didn't know he was the bad guy.
Yeah, he didn't know he was the bad guy.
The movie. That's true. It just is not. It's not very good. And it just lends itself more to questions than anything. I had no feels, zero feels to be had in this movie.
Let's take a quick break. We'll come back and we will talk about the Wait What's and the What the Flicks here on Deck the Hallmark. We're back. We're talking about A California Christmas. That is the title.
California Christmas.
We got it by the middle of the episode. It's time for the Wait, What's the Party Show. We talk about what in this movie made us go, wait, what? Alonzo, was there one for you?
Oh, you know, I really had to stretch, but I have a few. For starters, okay, so Rich Jerk arrives at the farm. Calf is being born. That is the cleanest calf to come out of a cow ever. Like, that calf would be have a nice jelly donut smearing of, like, viscera and whatever
that calf going on. Looks so pissed off that someone dumped water all over her. That's what she looked like. She's like, what happened here?
It is squeaky clean. All right. This movie would have you believe that these awful rich people who really want this land are going to go and, like, try and make deals with them when they're about to be evicted and the mother is about to die of cancer. Like, those vultures are just going to circle. All they have to do is wait and it's all going to come their way. Like, they're making any effort at all. Just strange.
I told Bram while we were watching, like, I hate to be the villain here, but, like, the bank is not dealing with these people. I mean, the rich people are not, they're dealing with the bank. They're just going to wait and then they're going to buy it from the bank at pennies on the dollar. Exactly. And these people are going to have nothing. That's what's going to happen.
They're going to scoop this thing up by Valentine's Day. Yes. So I don't know why suddenly we have to. And again, that's the thing we hate in these movies. Like, when you know, the Christmas is like the crux of the business year and everything is due on that day. And, like, that's as close to being a Christmas movie as this film ever bothers to get half the time, except for the occasional, like, garland or whatever. Milking cows is not a to-do list item that you get to when it fits your schedule.
No.
They need it on the regular at the same time every day. That would be first on the list.
Yeah. This is becoming farming tips with Alonzo, and I'm here for it. what farm in Georgia was your family on?
if you get now, if they get them down with the heartworm, you want to make sure that you put them on the strict diet of the. No. Even I know this about.
Yes,
about dairy cows, and I'm an idiot. Rhinestone is no one's favorite movie. Let's be very clear about that. No one's favorite
movie. How dare you? It's Brandon's favorite movie.
I never defy you. I defy anyone to tell me that it's their favorite movie. It's the worst.
What's that email address people can reach you at?
hello@deckthehallmark.com.
That's right, yeah.
Okay, so Manny, you're right. The most potentially interesting character here turns out is this, like, secret enophile and like has a perfect palate for wine tasting.
He's a savant sommelier.
You would think by the end of the movie that maybe the rich people would suggest, hey, we have a job for in the world of wine, and not just, back to being a ranch hand, enjoy mucking out the stalls. That's right.
There's the trailer, Manny.
Exactly.
Like, the trailer has a TV. He's fine. Yeah.
He has this incredible gift. Somebody needs to exploit it. And then, of course, the big, giant, red target on this movie. They have actual relations.
Yep.
They, as Shakespeare would say, they make the beast with the two backs while he is lying about his identity.
Yes. Correct.
Now, I have a newfound appreciation for the chasteness of Hallmark movies.
That's right.
Because, yes, always these guys are the secret millionaire and the secret prince, and they're lying and they get discovered. No, how could you? And then they resolve it. Which, if they have a few dry smooches under the mistletoe where they hold hands on a park bench, that's one thing. But they do the thing in this movie, and he is lying her about his identity. That is so gross.
Netflix, baby.
Yeah,
PG-13. Keep the kids at home.
I will
not okay.
I will piggyback off of that. I don't know. All I could think about when, you know, they had two or three makeout sessions, and all of those makeout sessions happened while the contract is in his back pocket. Yeah. Now, it's a risky game you're playing. Game you're playing, my friend, if you're trying to keep that under wraps and you're doing an activity that tend to, like, you know, that could have gone south real fast, and he's really lucky it didn't.
She keeps her hands above the waist.
Yes, that's exactly right.
Probably did go south.
the sister here... at one point, there's some sort of baked good. I don't know what the baked good was, but it's something that needs sprinkles.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know what the baked good is, but it's going to
bother you for the rest of eternity. I know.
Yes. And Callie turns to her while she's putting the sprinkles on and says, "Hey, not so much, because Christmas isn't for 2 weeks."
What?
What?
You know,
settle down on the sprinkles. We got a ration of, like, what was it? What was it?
You can get a tub of rainbow sprinkles that will last you until the next election for $5.99. And she's like, simmer down now. Let's save them. Save them.
We all know that until actual Christmas, you have to keep it light on the red sprinkles, apparently.
You know, you don't, like us, like we wouldn't eat 2 dozen donuts before we did the show.
It's 2 weeks till Christmas. It's
2 weeks till Christmas. Come on.
Tap the brakes.
Connor, who is Callie's...
Dead fiancé's brother?
Yeah.
I think they're just friends.
No, friends. Friends. Yeah, oh, okay.
He's
trying to hit on her.
He does, he's not the best guy in the world.
He gets drunk and sexually assaults her. That happens in the movie. Oh, yes, I mean,
Which is awful, and I would say just underneath that is the fact that he's just wearing a generic black hat the entire movie. Yeah. It's just a black hat, nothing on. What's worse, that hat or Rob Lowe's just a blank NFL hat that he wore to a football game?
Rob Lowe had to know.
It's
right?
A great bit.
It's a great bit. If he goes and just has an NFL logo on his hat, like that would be great.
Really is great. Mm-hmm. That's all I got.
Alonzo took a lot of the big farming ones, which were huge for me. But I do want to point out that, like, for a business that's going under and being swallowed whole by the machine, they're not really doing a lot to try and save it. No one's really working on the farm to produce anything that would make them money. The girl doesn't want to go help her younger sister, you know, at the bakery or whatever. Like, she's taking the day off. Like, no one here actually cares about the farm any more than just saying they care about the farm. They don't do anything that would establish it's actually important to them. When the two leads kiss for the first time, it's up. They go up this hill to this little area where the vines are. They sit on the bench. She had planned ahead. She brought some wine. It's a really, you know, supposed to be like a really romantic moment. And they kiss passionately. And then there is a car horn that I can only describe as being miles away. Like, it is not in the near. It's not like somebody drove a truck up the hill and went, bam, bam. Like, it is. It's a long way away. It would not even phase, if we were recording this podcast, the horn of that sound would not phase what we were doing right now. And they break that kiss up like the world's about to explode. It is ridiculous.
Country folk, Dan. You know, they're used to peace and quiet. They hear one horn and it's like, clearly the barn's on fire.
The barn must be on fire. Speaking of the barn, my man went full Bob Vila on that thing in the middle of the night, because they specifically said 3 days before Christmas, my dad's last project was he was going to fix this barn up, but it's a mess. And then next thing you know, there's mom's going to the hospital. The other mom's coming into town to buy the place. He's been kicked off the property. But somehow in the midst of all that, he completely renovates the inside of that barn. How did he do it? It's magic. How did he do it, Bran?
I think that does bring up a really good point, which is, I had two what the hallmark, so I'll just use it here. How much experience does whatever his name is, Joseph, have with his hands? Because early on in this movie, they make it very clear his hands are very soft. He doesn't know anything. And 20 minutes after that, he's just fixes up stuff. And then by the end, he's fixing up a full barn.
Yeah.
So there is he's either good and his hands are still soft, or he is the next up and coming big thing.
He's also a savant, but not a sommelier.
Yes, exactly. Look, right.
A man gets one callus and suddenly he's Bob Vila.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah, exactly. I do want to point out, and I hate to be that guy, but she has these flashbacks of being in the truck when her dad and her fiance die. And it's not a great message to send to anyone watching this movie that if you don't wear your seatbelt, you'll be the lone survivor. because that's what happens in that car accident. Dodge Ram T-bones them. Those two guys are buckled up for safety. She's just flopping around in the back seat and she's fine. I can't believe it. Like, let's do a little bit better job telling people to wear their seatbelt. Sorry to bring the mood down. Joseph's driver, they want to put him out as this very fancy driver, I guess. But my man wears an ascot to breakfast, and I, like, just by himself, not out for breakfast, like robe, ascot. That's impressive. Like, that's an impressive getup.
I would also like to know where is the car wash in Petaluma that serves cheese and crackers wine while you're waiting for your vehicle to be detailed?
I assumed he brought that out of the back of the Range Rover, but my thing was
maybe.
If he's the driver, he's living it up, like, to be a driver. I didn't quite get that altogether. That's all I got.
Wonderful, wonderful. It's time for What the Flicks, part of the show we wonder what could have been, maybe happened, glitter, 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 glitter. I'm going to start with Alonzo. Alonzo, what you got?
I want to throw out just sort of randomly, there's a joke early on when Fancy Pants shows up at the ranch and hardworking dairymaid says, he looks like he's on a soap opera. Because the actor's been on a soap opera.
Oh, that is the movie's idea, that's good stuff.
My What the Flicks is I never want to think about these people ever again. So I really have zero questions about where this could go or what happened here. I'm just trying to put the whole experience behind out of my mind.
Yeah, that's fair.
So I got nothing. Sorry.
No, that's fair.
I didn't have any feels. Works.
My at one point, he is trying to find his driver, butler, whatever, named Leo. And
manservant
doesn't know where he is, so he pulls out the Friend Finder app that has Leo's location. So
don't Google Friend Finder, kids. You're going to find something else entirely.
Really?
I have two questions about this. One, does Leo know that he has a tracker on him? And either way, I want to know how, like, if he does know, how'd that conversation go? Hey, can you share your location with me so I know where you are at every moment of every day? And if not, how'd he do that? How did he get that out situation turned? Hey, Leo, give me your phone.
Seemed very convenient. Not a Find My iPhone, a Friend Finder.
It's a Friend Finder. So you're saying me there's weird stuff on the internet?
No,
that name's already in use. So I'm just going to leave it
all there. All right. There you have it.
And I'll tell you, if people want to go back to the first episode I did with you guys on this of this topic, Happiest Season, they set up the joke about the tracking people on the phone, which this movie does not bother to do.
They do a much better job in almost every capacity than this movie. Six of one, half dozen the other. Mine is the girl that sings every night at the bar. Where do you get to a place in your life where you have a residency at the one bar in a podunk town, and it seems like she is loving
her
life
setup is wild.
It is crazy.
Because she is, it's just her on the piano. She has some sort of setup where she can count off a drum machine. I don't know how it works, but she's got, it's amazing, her setup.
She works for Tips and Harvey Wallbangers.
I love it. Yeah, that's all I got.
I love it.
We did it,
everybody. Yay. Congratulations. Ooh. Congratulations. We're going to be back next week with another really fun one, which is going to be what, Dan?
It's going to be the Hayley Duff classic, All About Christmas Eve.
All About Christmas Eve.
You can find it on Lifetime. You may even be able to set it to record over Christmas in July.
Yeah,
on
I'm sure it's coming
up
soon.
You can search it on Philo, and you can click save, and when it comes on, you can record it, no problem.
I love that. That's really exciting.
It's very close to the classic film All About Eve. I mean, the similarities are uncanny from what I understand.
It's with Hilary Duff?
Hayley Duff, even better.
She's older,
right?
She's that's older. Better, she's got more experience, right?
That's
right.
She's
better. She's a seasoned professional.
That's right.
Alonzo, would you like to leave us with any wisdom, words of wisdom that you've been kind of stewing on?
Yes, don't watch A California Christmas.
More than fair.
There you go. That's all you need.
That's
wise. Even for the joke value.
Yeah, that's wise.
That's all you need. We'll be back tomorrow with another exciting episode of Deck the Hallmark. Until then, may we be the first to wish you a very California Christmas. Oh, there it is.
It's just a California.
Deck the Hallmarks of Bramble Jam podcast. It's presented by Philo TV. It's produced by Brandon Gray and recorded live in, yeah, that Greenville, South Carolina. Set decor is by Plum at Haywood Mall. For more information on Deck the Hallmark, you can go to deckthehallmark.com. For more information on Bramble Jam Podcast Network, you can go to bramblejampodcast.com.